Welcome to the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sam Oracle Chinedu, down to our very final hour right here on the show. And this morning, in this hour, I'd like to talk to you about stealing. Oh, yes, you must know what that is. I'm not quite sure whether or not you have engaged in that beautiful practice of stealing, but it will be defined as taking what does not belong to you. Oh, yes, indeed. You very likely have seen people say, thief, thief, hulam, hulam. Because in every part of the world, stealing is a crime. Now, if we want to consult the dictionary, it will tell us that it is taking what does not belong to you. That means that you could be in possession of something that should not be in your possession. But when it comes to stealing, there are three things. I'm not giving this as a masterclass for you to try it, but three things that you must understand. The first question is, what are you stealing? The second is, why are you stealing it? And the third is, who are you stealing from? And if you think about it, the third is the most important. So, this morning, to answer the first question, what are you stealing? Oil. Why are you stealing? Oh, because it's valuable. Oil is an important resource in every part of the world. There's no country I know that does not have some use, some need for oil. As a matter of fact, stealing oil is like stealing gold. Because in every part of the world, it is important. Who are you stealing from? Nigeria and the Nigerian people. And you see, when you steal from a lot of people, the implications, the repercussions are so dire, so severe than when you steal from one person. Now, what you want to ask is, what is the security structure of the person you're stealing from? More importantly, what is the consequence that can come from stealing from that person? One of my favorite kinds of movies are heist movies, you know, where you have a team planning to rob a bank. They always have different people with different functions. There's a person who's the muscle. He's the one that can break down doors and carry big guns. And he doesn't talk too much. He lets his muzzle do the talking. There's the IT guy, the one who will hack the system, deactivate CCTV cameras, give you access to whatever door, have some way to, you know, override the encryption. It's mostly fiction. They make this criminal activities look cool. But I bet you, what I love the most is not the idea that the thieves are successful. It's the level of planning that goes into stealing. So if you bring that structure into stealing oil from Nigeria, it also takes a team. So this morning, let's find out whether or not we can catch these thieves. I have a guest who will join me shortly. But the latest report connected to stealing, even though this is still in court, so we don't have a lot of details. But of course, I'll take it before I introduce my guest. The Federal High Court in Port Harcourt has charged 26 men with conspiracy to commit maritime offence and attempting to illegally deal in crude oil after authorities accused their vessel of sailing in Nigeria waters without authority. The captain is an Indian national, while the crew members are from Poland, India, Sri Lanka and Pakistan. A correspondent gathered that the 26 of them were arrested on board the Heroic Idun crude oil vessel, a vessel capable of carrying 2 million barrels of oil for sailing without an identifying flag and fleeing the Nigerian Navy. The crude carrier is said to be the size of 3 standard football fields. That is a lot. Speaking with journalists, captain of the vessel, Tanuj Mehta, an Indian national, claimed he and his crew were following superior orders. That's interesting.
We had a misunderstanding with the terminal. The documents, which were supposed to be filed by the ship's agents in the night, we managed to take all actions what was advised by them. And on 12th of August, we were arrested by Equatorial Guinea Navy ship Captain David and taken to Equatorial Guinea. We arrived at Equatorial Guinea on 14th of August. And since then, we've been in Equatorial Guinea. And then we were handed over to Nigeria. So that's our side of the story. We are innocent and we have, myself and the ship's crew, we've just been following orders which were provided to us.
Now, you've heard the captain says, we have no fault here. We're innocent. Again, the court will decide, so we'll not go deep into this. But one of the many things that they're accused of is stealing or wanting to steal. Now, the judge ordered the suspects be allowed to see their lawyers and have access to medical attention when the need arises. Now, let me give you some stats. Oil theft has taken more than 400,000 barrels per day from Nigeria's oil output. That's a lot of stealing. And it has knocked Nigeria off Africa's top exporter from number one to number two. This is what the state oil firm confirms. So stealing of oil is doing us a whole lot of bad. Our guest to have this conversation is Mr. Fineface Dumnamene. He is an environmental activist, I believe. And he joins me via the phone. Good morning, Mr. Fineface. How are you doing? Oh, my. I lost that call. So we'll try to reconnect with him as we talk about this stealing. But I'd like to hear from you, as I will attempt, of course, to go through what the government has done or is doing to ensure that these thieves are not successful. Also, to give you some more idea as to how this stealing is affecting us. Besides even the 400,000 barrels per day, the MD of the NNPC says that Nigeria loses $1.9 billion every month to oil theft. So once again, remember the questions. What are you stealing? Why are you stealing it? And who are you stealing from? But remember I said also that the most important question, which is who are you stealing from, is important because the attitude of the person you're stealing from determines whether or not you will continue stealing. Just imagine if you stole from a house and no one chased you, you were almost certain you would not be caught. What do you think will happen? You'd very likely go back and steal again. Oh, Fineface has joined us. Good morning, Fineface. Thanks for making the time. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Sam Tinedu. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's a pleasure. I need to say this on radio. Thanks for responding on short notice.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So, Fineface, you very likely have the stats and facts. You've been on this course for quite some time. We have varying figures as to how much we lose to oil theft. 400,000 barrels per day. Some say it's more than that. Kyari said $1.9 billion per month. You know, whatever source you're getting your figures from, it is a lot. So what are the implications of these losses to our country, Nigeria?
Yeah, the implication of the multiple losses being recorded as a result of illegal bunkering, especially because what has happened now is illegal bunkering, is that it's robbing the nation of resources that would have been used to develop this country. And those who are involved in this are not just the foreigners that have been arrested to a very large extent, but the people in-house in Nigeria that are aiding this process and abetting it. You can see Nigeria is a country and has its, you know, territorial waters and the boundaries. So you can see that people can come from other countries and be able to get into the country, load up a good way and go back with it. So the implication is very huge. In the process of loading that, because it's being done illegally, you have a lot of pollution that goes into the water bodies, destroying the aquatic life and the ecosystem. And then you have, you know, the massive crude oil that is going out, running into billions of dollars. So that money would have been used to develop this country. Nigeria today is one of the poorest countries in the world. We are part of the E9. So if we are a third world country and we are letting this kind of resources to leave the country that would have been used to develop us, then the implication is very, very huge. Today, the world is even talking about renewable energy, you know, transformation to renewable energy transition. So it is money we save from the petroleum resources that is now being taken and going into private pocket that would have been used to transition the country from a fossil fuel-based economy to, you know, energy transition, you know, economy, low-carbon economy. So I think so much is being lost to these processes, and I think the government needs to step up the fight. I have been on this for a very long time. As the National Facilitator of Project with Aksana Crude Oil Refiners for Modular Refinery, I have been on this. And I also believe that this is one of the issues that is going to take the center stage. Because from Tuesday next week to Friday next week, there is the National Council of Hydrocarbons. They are going to sit in Niger State and discuss some of these issues that is plaguing our oil and gas sector. So I believe that they should try to find solutions to this problem. And I believe that the route to finding solutions to this problem lies more in the hands of the security operators that are in charge of the responsibility of policing our pipeline, policing our waterways, and ensuring that the air facilities are not tampered with. Oftentimes, they criminalize communities, they criminalize the youth who get involved in artisanal refining. But look at the quantity that is being taken out of the country. One time of successful looting of this kind of project and this kind of product out of the country is more than what the artisanal refiners steal within a week. I know quite well that so much is being lost, and I think we shouldn't allow this to continue, because as it is today, it seems Nigeria is the only country anywhere in the world where people can come with petrol into the country, steal crude oil, and they go out successfully. We are only hearing about this now because they are caught. And they are caught because maybe there is error somewhere in their planning and their arrangement. Otherwise, they come in and go. Even when there was a certain blaze of the vessel confiscated by Sompolo as part of his pipeline surveillance contract, I told people that even after setting that badge ablaze, others are loading crude oil. That they should wait in the next few days, they are going to hear more. And you can see what we have now. A vessel that is like three times the size of a standard football pitch leaving the country. It is something that I think we are losing so much as a result.
All right. For this particular case, we're careful with how much detail because it's currently in court. But, I mean, just thinking that the vessel was held up at Equatorial Guinea and we had to have an arrangement for them to send it back to us, that tells a lot. But now that we have talked about, you know, the implications to the country, what implication does it have to the Niger Delta, considering that, you know, this is where the resource comes from? Is it more severe when you compare it to the larger scope, Nigeria?
Yes, it's more severe on the Niger Delta, because one of the agitations of the Niger Delta people over the years is resource control. And what resource are they struggling to control? It is the oil resources. And if the petroleum deposit for which they are struggling to control has not been given, and people who come from outside with the aid of security authorities allegedly coming in and going out of this nature, then the people are suffering more. Because if the cost of that product that was being taken away is given to the Niger Delta communities, then you can see that the community will transform. Today in the Niger Delta, the pollution we have here cannot be found anywhere else in the world. And the people here are having their traditional sources of livelihood, the fishing and farming, destroyed as a result of pollution associated with activities of hydrocarbon extraction, you know, transportation, and illegal bunkering of this nature. So the local people who own these resources, by virtue of the fact that they are indigenous to the environment where the resources is found, are those that are suffering more. Nigeria is not suffering as much as the people in Niger Delta are suffering, because the people who sleep on the resources, sleep on the resources, who wake up on the resources, are living in penury and abject poverty. While the larger Nigerian society is galvanizing and gathering what comes from this area, and then they share to other parts of the country that are not even suffering as a result of this every 30 days. So I think that the local people are suffering more. And if we need to solve this problem, I think we need to look into the fact that the people who are from the communities in the Niger Delta, where these resources is found, are given adequate attention for them to benefit from these resources. Take, for instance, the Petroleum Industry Act that we now have is giving just about 3% to the Niger Delta community people. And if you look at what that vessel alone is carrying, is much more than 3% times 20 of what will be given to the Niger Delta people in over a period of time, about a year. So I think that they need to look inward and see how the Niger Delta people who are sitting on these resources will benefit more from it, because very soon, hydrocarbon fossil fuel is going to be obsolete. The world is transitioning, is moving to the next level of energy transition. So the people of the Niger Delta should be made to benefit from the resources that is currently still usable under their soil. Like today, we are hearing about even a fall in the price of crude in the international market as a result of ease of tension in some other areas. So I think the people here should benefit from their resources.
All right, Fine Face, we need to take a break now. I'm glad you mentioned the 3%. That was the source of so many controversies, and it took a long time to get there. After the break, we'll talk about recommendations and the way forward. Please stay with us.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back. It's still the morning Crossfire 92.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sam Oracle Chinedu. We're still talking oil theft. We have our guest, Fineface Dumnamene, on the phone. You're welcome once again, Mr. Fineface.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Now, earlier we talked about how Nigeria was losing over 400,000 barrels per day, and in the words of NNPC's Kyari, $1.9 billion every month. That's a lot. Before the break, Fineface was telling us the implications to the nation and, of course, the Niger Delta region. But the question that a lot of people have very likely thought about at some point is, with every president promising to fix this problem, why does the solution continue to evade us? Is it rocket science? Why is it so difficult to fix? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I didn't get the last thing you said.
Okay, I said with every president promising to fix this particular problem, why is the solution so difficult to fix?
Yeah, the solution is being difficult because the government is not committed. The political will to end this is not there. And again, it is also being difficult to curtail because the people that are involved in it are in the government. Listen to what the foreigner said, that it was some power from above, some high authority, this and that. That is what you have. I think one of the presidential candidates have also said that the issue of crude oil theft is persisting in Nigeria because it involves people in high places. And I am also saying that the reason why you see this being difficult to curtail is because those who are involved are not poor people. No, they are the rich people, the big guys in Abuja, the big guys in Port Harcourt, the big guys in Lagos, and other top cities in Nigeria that are involved, and other international syndicates that work with them to get this done. The only thing that was popular in this country and around the Gulf of Guinea that we know is the, you know, illegal, unreported and unregulated and fishing, we call IUU. But today you have in the Niger Delta and the Gulf of Guinea coming from Nigeria, illegal, unreported crude oil theft, you know, illegal bunkering, you know, going on. It's a shame that this is happening and continuing to happen. And look at this. It was successfully, you know, loaded, the crude was successfully loaded bunkers from Nigeria illegally and taken out of the country, out of Nigerian territorial waters. It is a small, tiny country that has less resources, less population, less knowledge, so to speak, or technology than Nigeria that was able to detect, you know, this ship there. So automatically they were already gone. If not that they were caught there, we wouldn't have heard about this. And that does not mean that even as we signal that those who have been arrested, they are arraigned in court and whatever, that another vessel is not being loaded now or transported out of Nigeria right now with crude oil inside. So these things are becoming difficult because the people who are supposed to stop and fight this are aiding and abetting the process. They are part of the process. That is why you see this happening. And I was surprised some months ago when the NNPC talked about the fact that so much is being stolen from Nigeria. And the Navy commander came forward to say it was a lie, that much is not being stolen. And you can see another one happening now. He can now justify what the NNPC said, Abakari said. So I think that it's been a challenge because those who are involved in it are the people who are supposed to stop this kind of thing from happening. And apart from the resources that we lose as a result of this process, apart from, other economic challenges that come as a result of pollution, the shame that this kind of thing will happen in our country goes a long way to say that our leaders are not doing enough. When we talk about corruption, this is the manifestation of corruption, whereby people can come in here, they water, load their crude oil and go back. It is a manifestation of corruption. And I think we need to do more to stop this, you know, to stop this from happening because it's a shame on us as a country.
All right. Now we'll be talking about the government's efforts to tackle this problem, what has been launched and how far they've gone. But before we get there, I'd like to hear from you. Do you trust the government's effort in tackling crude oil theft with all the results we have, most notably a certain contract that was awarded for pipeline surveillance? I'll be speaking with Mr. Fineface about that shortly, but I'd like to hear from you. Then must call us 070-0923-0923. WhatsApp is 080-903-06416. Remember, we are live on Facebook and Twitter. You can drop your messages on those platforms. Goodness on WhatsApp says, good morning. Where are the modular refineries promised? The government is chasing black suit makers instead of building modular refineries to integrate these people. A bottle of kerosene is now 950 from 125 before. The masses are under so much hyperinflation. Oh my, I've lost that call. I'm going to try to reconnect with Fine Face. Can the government stop putting the cart before the horse and build modular refineries? Goodness is asking. Good morning, JJ.
Yeah, Sam, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Please check the Vanguard newspaper, 31st August 2022, uh-huh. Right? Where the NNPC is saying that those that are stealing the oil are even their own people. So those who are supposed to protect the oil are the ones responsible for the stealing of this same oil. So, Sam, how do you solve such problem that 400,000 barrels a day is stolen from this country, and we don't know who is stealing it, but they have told us, the people have told us that these are the people, the same people who are in charge that are stealing it. There was also a time that the president traveled for health vacation, came back with a document that shows that if they carry 2 million barrels from here, by the time they get to their home country, they will discharge 3 million. So where does the 1 million come from? There was also a quote by Obasanjo that over 20% of the oil in the national market are brought in by unknown country. Who are these unknown country? Does oil grow in transit or just be like needle or something? I don't get it. So we are our own problem. Until we sweep and clean that system, bro, we'll never make any headway. I don't know if you have any questions.
No, I don't. Thank you very much, JJ.
Thank you very much.
David calls from Yenagoa. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Mr. Sam.
Good morning. Please go ahead.
Responding to the question you put forward, I think my answer will be in the affirmative. I think the measures the government has put in place so far so good will help to curb this oil theft. You will agree with me that the number of oil Nigeria is losing is affecting the economy in such a way that we are all crying. And I also believe that with this, I think the government will have money to put up the refineries that we are complaining of. So indeed, for me, the pipeline surveillance contract that was given is a good thing. But just like I advised in an interview I granted, that those that are being given the surveillance contract should also have some element of sincerity and take away greed from their mind, because they will not be the ones to go into the mangroves to surveillance these pipes directly. They will send people to go and do it. So the people they are going to send to go and carry out this job be paid adequately and well taken care of, because you must involve the community. If you don't involve the community in owning up to this pipeline,
all right, David,
you will continue to have the same problem.
David, I have a
thank you very much.
Hold on. I have a question for you.
All right,
so you say the pipeline surveillance contract is yielding results. Do you think that that method is sustainable, even though it's yielding short-term results right now? Can we sustain it?
It's not going to be a permanent contract, so to say. It's a contract. And you'll agree with me that contracts can be revoked.
Okay.
Then contracts are also having timelines, too.
All right.
For renewal. So for me, at the moment, you were all seeing it. For over many years, some persons have decided to lay pipeline. So look at it. If not for this contract, we wouldn't have known it.
Okay.
But the government must also to help us to begin to prosecute these people. So that if people are, if we see people being prosecuted, not just these ordinary ones we are seeing that are, they are being prosecuted, they highly placed people both in the NNPC and in the government circle, in the military and what have you. People should be adequately prosecuted as a deterrent.
Right,
so for me,
much,
like
David.
I said, I'm in support of the contract, but the leaders of this contract too must also take away greed from their mind.
Okay.
Then I think I will succeed. Once
I'll be getting back to my guest shortly, but I have Temple calling from Rumomasi. Good morning, Temple.
Good morning, the very distinguished Oracle.
Good morning. Please go ahead.
The very distinguished Oracle. as far as I'm concerned, this issue of oil theft, or the it is being dealt with within the confines of the multinationals, nothing is going to stop. And nothing they are going to do, even the government themselves are going to do about it. When we talk about the pipeline that are producing and that contains oil crude, who are those to identify that? And who are those to leak out the information? It is the multinationals, their workers themselves. You talk about the oil bunker, you talk about those of them giving them some kind of leverages and protection. You talk about their security agents. Even here in my community, in Umeche, Mineche here, you see where their security agents with the heroes, their heroes have been provided by the company themselves. They are using to escort these bunkers who came to steal oil. So what are we saying? You talk about the discovering of oil pipelines. This business, if I may ask, is it a poor man business? Can anybody wake up in the morning and begin to do this business? Can anybody wake up to begin to lay illegal pipeline without on underground work, without the help of the elite? As far as I'm concerned, those who lay the pipelines are the ones discovering the pipeline, and there is nobody to prosecute, as I'm telling you authoritatively. Thank you, and remember it.
All right, thank you very much, Temple. That's quite spirited. Mr. Fineface, I'm sure you've heard some of the reactions.
Yes, I heard the reactions. And the last speaker, I think, what he talked about, especially the question you asked of the sustainability of the surveillance contract.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, it's not something that can be sustainable. And it's part of what I'm going to say, because as Executive Director of Youth and Environmental Advocacy Center and the National Facilitator of Project with Artisanal Crude Oil Refinery and Samunda Refinery, have been formally invited by the federal government to come and address the National Council on Hydrocarbon on ways of tackling crude oil theft in the Niger Delta and empowering the youth who are involved in this. So it's going to be part of some of the things I'm going to present next week to the National Council of Hydrocarbon in the Niger State. What are these things? Now, the surveillance contract again that is being made now is temporary, because the contract itself cannot be sustainable, because the amount of money involved may not be something that Nigeria can be able to pay continually. And then, if the government changes in 2023, the new government, if it's in another party, may not sustain the contract. We saw that happen during Jonathan's transition to Buhari, you know, in 2011, how the contract was taken away and was arrested, talking about some polo and stuff like that. So I think that the only way to sustain this, because what they are currently using through the surveillance contract, is the state approach to hit those who are involved, fight them, chase them, do this and that, to tackle the internal structure of the oil and gas industry, illegal artisanal refining area, and crude oil theft. We need to bring on board the modular refinery promised by the federal government in 2017.
Okay.
I have been working on that, trying the youth of forming cooperative sites across the Niger Delta for this youth to have the license to that platform. And we also generated a new idea, which we call the Presidential Artisanal Crude Oil Refining Development Initiative, PACODI. PACODI talks about the legalization of artisanal refining. After modifying it, you know, formalizing it, and you innovate it to be more environmental friendly, and they can buy crude oil from the federal government and be able to run this process. The federal government have done similar things for youth who are involved in illegal gold mining and stealing in parts of the north through the formation of the Presidential Artisanal Gold Mining Development Initiative, PADMI, that was launched by President Muhammadu Buhari on July 6, 2020. So we came up with PACODI as something that the federal government should do. And I'm happy that they are taking steps in that direction, because in March 2021, March 2022, they organized two national summits to integrate modular refinery and artisanal refining through the PACODI into the national economy. And I was invited to the post meeting and I spoke to them. So this new invitation to me now is also a way of strengthening what we have worked on. Also, if they can bring this on board, it will help us to be able to provide alternative livelihood opportunities for youth who are involved in this. There is something very special as well that we are doing at Youth and Environmental Advocacy Center to also tackle crude oil theft in Nigeria and the Niger Delta. That is to say, if we can provide electricity in communities, those communities that depend on this illegal product to power their homes, we stop buying those products. Youth who are involved in this illegal product stealing, we also stop and use this standby electricity to provide alternative livelihood for themselves. That is why we are installing solar mini off-grid in communities in the Niger Delta, starting with Omolu community in Delta State. So we are doing this, and we are going to sell to other communities, because we know that people buy this kerosene to power their home, they buy the fuel to power their generator, they buy the fuel to even run some other things within their home.
Yeah.
But if we can give them electricity, it will help to cut off, you know, that aspect of what they are doing. So there are several opportunities on the table of the government. And I think it's high time they take measures to address some of these issues. So we are going to remind them of some of these arrangements. I received an official letter from the President of the Republic of Nigeria accepting to partner with me and with the organization to address this issue. So I think it's high time they action those partnership agreements and those discussions we have had, because we cannot go into a 2022 election with this kind of thing going on in Nigeria and also have it outside the election time. We need to be able to tackle these issues once and for all to create jobs for our youth and stop crude oil theft that is currently ongoing in the country.
All right. Now, finally, fine face, because we're almost out of time. Other countries, when experts studied their oil sector, deployed the use of technology, digital control
technology,
systems,
yeah,
to monitor,
yeah,
oil activities. Is there a problem? Can we not afford the technology to also use it here? Instead
we
of having people
the
mine
technology in Nigeria. But because the people that are involved in the crude oil sector don't want those technology to come to play in, and that is why we don't have it. Recently, I think some months back or thereabout, I was with the Norwegian ambassador to Nigeria, because I always knew with this ambassador, always consult me to talk with me on how things are going and ways of finding solutions. He told me one-on-one that Norway has offered Nigeria the technology of metering to meter our oil to see what goes from point A to from point B to point C, and we know at what point there was tampering. But Nigeria rejected that offer, and as a result of that, they could not bring it in. Now, if you look at a small country like Qatar, they also have oil like us. We are seeing video and information about how in a room, in an office, they monitor every movement of oil, the crude from point A to point B. Nigeria can afford the same thing. If it will take us to load badges of crude oil in exchange for the technology to monitor how our oil is moving from point A to point B, I think we can do it. Because it came to a time, even in the Niger Delta, where you have some of these warlords at the time loading our crude oil in exchange for gun, allegedly. Those things happen. So if we can load crude in exchange for technology to protect our oil, to know where it is moving from. I am not supporting the expansion of fossil fuel as an environmentalist and a climate change campaigner.
Yeah.
But what I know is that we must move from fossil fuel to renewable energy. And for us to move, we need money generated through the fossil fuel sales to
all
be
right.
able to move to renewable energy.
We are officially out of time. Thank you very much, Fine Face, for your time. Of course, we'll have other opportunities to engage further. Have yourself a wonderful day, sir.
All right, thank you.
Well, remember the three questions I asked connected to every theft. What are you stealing? Why are you stealing it? And who are you stealing from? Correct answers to those questions will help us fix our problems. Well, thanks for being a part of Morning Crossfire this morning. This is as far as we can go. It has been an awesomeness spending this time with you. Connect with us at Nigeria Info PH on all platforms, and with me at Sparkling Oracle on all platforms as well.